Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
It's time!
Shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and a backhand stop by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Eklund by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris Mason.
We are every Wednesday, 1 o'clock, Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. Now joins us. What was going through your mind with that save in overtime by UC Saros? One, I grabbed my groin. Mine started hurting just watching the save. What did you think about that save and him just sitting there in that position holding the puck? Pretty amazing.
It is honestly, and I know from being in that position how hard it is to do what he did, because his momentum was going to his left, and he was already sprawled out. It was a great move, and then for him to be able to dig his skate blade in enough to get enough edge to give that extra little push to shut down that far post, it was incredible. And it's just what we talk about all the time in the broadcast, his quickness, the instantaneous ability to just make those little adjustments like that. It's a difference, obviously. He saved the game. You know, you talk about game-saving saves, and that was one of them. And it's just incredible. You know, I feel there's so many great storylines with, obviously, Tanner Jeannot, Duchesne, Forsberg, Yossi. Sometimes, as crazy as it seems, Saros gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, and we don't give him as much love as we should, because what he's doing right now is absolutely incredible. He's, you know, Yossi's having just a historic season, and I know Saros's numbers dipped a little bit there. It was impossible to sustain, but for the amount of quality grade A chances that the Preds give up, UC Saros, you know, Jacob Underwood just texted us today that Saros is, I think he's now the top goalie in the league and goal saved above average. So, you know, that speaks to the level of difficulty of the shots that he's getting and keeping out of the net. He's winning hockey games. He's collecting points for these guys. He's been unreal.
It's number one in wins.
Quality starts. You talk about, you know, consistency. Can you keep that level of play up for the entire season? He's done that. Even, you know, we were talking yesterday with Robbie and Joe, you know, you talk about the ups and downs. His downs have been very minimal. Even in games where they lose or he gives up goals, you know, there's not many goals where I looked at this season, I'm like, man, you know, he should have had that one as a bad goal. It's just he's almost, the way he's played this year and going back to last year and throughout his career, he's almost superhuman. You know, you get used to that and you're like, oh, they scored four goals, he gave up four, gave up five. But there's never any weak or soft goals with him. It's incredible.
I thought Kakinen was really good last night. He was a guy that was thrown to the scrap heap from Minnesota to San Jose, and I thought he played really well.
He did. He was awesome. He played really well. He kept that. You talk about keeping a team in the game. He kept the Sharks in. And you know, sometimes it's just finding the right fit. And, you know, obviously Minnesota didn't work out for him. He had some competition there. Maybe San Jose is a place where you know, Reimer's there, he's an older guy, maybe pegged for backup type of a situation, and you're not really having a battle, and you just, you kind of get a chance to reset your mind, and you're just free of all the previous mental anguish, maybe, you know, that he had in Minnesota, because he could never really get it going. But he's definitely got the skill set. He's got the demeanor. He handled the puck really well. I've never really seen him handle the puck a lot, but last night he had a bunch of handles, and he just looked, you know, at peace with his game, and he was dominant. It was definitely a heck of a goaltender's duel. They faced different kind of shots. I don't know if Kakinen had the quality against him. He had to make a lot of big saves, don't get me wrong. But I think Juice had the more difficult chances, less shots. But Kakinen was awesome. He didn't make a mistake. He got some help from his posts a couple times. But even on those, he was right there in position. And it was a great goalie battle.
Peel back the curtain and take us in the room. You're back playing. So you're in the room, and you've got a guy like Borowiecki. We had played a great interview last night in postgame with him, and all of us have dealt with him. He's so fantastic to deal with. And we heard all this coming over from Ottawa that he was going to be a media darling, that everybody would love him and a fan favorite. But it's played out. It's certainly played out that way. But in this particular question, how what he does night in and night out play in a room?
Well, God, that was a great. I listened to that on the way home, and I'll tell you what, Max Hertz, he's a stud. He's really good at what he does. He's got the passion, and it was a great interview. And I just really love the different layers that it hit. And it, you know, it goes beyond the game, right? And it's what, you know, the role that he plays. He's an older guy. He's got a young family, and you know, you're in Ottawa, and you're trying to fight for the boys every single night. And you know, it's just the way and the reasons why he does it. It was incredible to hear him, you know, say, "Well, Tanner, you know, I don't want him to have to do it all the time, and I'll do anything for these guys." So he jumps over the boards and he gets in a fight. He knew the guy was a tough guy and didn't want Geno to do it because he means so much to the team and wants him to be able to play. And you know, this is a guy that's got broken teeth in his mouth, just, you know, stitches. I don't know how many stitches he's got. Probably got to get more now after last night, and just the sacrifice and the willingness to do something for a group of people, for your teammates, you know, to hear him really express how much the guys mean to him and how much the mutual respect is between Borowiecki and how much respect he has for the rest of the team and the coaching staff is really incredible. And it's, you see that on the ice. And that's why this year's team is such a fun team to cover, because whether they win, whether they lose, whether they play well, whether they play bad, these guys stick together, and you can just feel that camaraderie and that chemistry, and that these guys legitimately care about one another. And it's they all say it. It's one of the best group of guys I've ever played with, you know, and creating that environment. You have to have the right personalities. You have to have the right leadership. You have to have the right, you know, kind of group mentality and belief in each other. And then it ends up, you know, you got this team, man. I wouldn't want to play against this team. I think Adam Vinken put something out. They got 57 majors this season. They lead by I don't know how many. And he said, to put that in context, the last time was 50. It was almost a decade or two decades ago or something like that. So, but, you know, that's not the point. But it's these guys are willing to do whatever it takes for each other. And I just think whoever they end up playing in the first round is in for a rude awakening. This team is special in that regard. And you can see it, you know, every time they get on the ice. And Borowiecki is a massive part of that. He's just such a great guy. You know, he's so well-spoken, so soft-spoken. You know, he gets on, you know, an emotional level, very open and honest. And then you see him on the ice, he's an absolute savage. It's just unreal.
Chris Mason is with us. We're talking Predators hockey here. Edmonton Oilers come into town tomorrow. And Mace, the Predators have played them twice, both times in Edmonton. The first time, Edmonton was on a roll, and they could almost do no wrong. They overpowered the Predators. Connor Ingram was the goalie that night. And then later, the Predators played them just when they were coming out of the doldrums. They went into a funk. They fired their coach. They couldn't win a game. They were getting killed. They fired Dave Tippett, an outstanding coach. one of the best. You know, you look at Dave Tippett on the NHL Register of Coaches. He's up there. And they beat him in a shootout, I believe. McDavid had the game-winning goal in the shootout. So now they come to Nashville, and they've been playing really steady hockey. They did get beat pretty badly last night. So what do you – the Predators have kind of – they owned Edmonton for a long, long time. But the last few meetings, Edmonton has found ways to beat Nashville. What do you think has been missing there?
In Edmonton, I think. Are you talking about the Preds, Edmonton, or just the?
I'm talking about the Preds. The Predators matchup. How do they need to break through to get a big 2 points tomorrow?
Well, I feel that there was different parts of the season, and you touched on a couple of the intangibles that I think impacted the game. I think this team, the Preds team, knows exactly what they have to do to be successful. And I think, if you catch Edmonton on an off night, especially early in the season, I mean, maybe later in the season now, they're going to hurt you. They're going to make you pay. And if they have that extra motivation and you have Draisaitl and McDavid, firing on all cylinders and you take penalties, which they did up in Edmonton, you're asking for a beating. And I think right now where the Predators are at, especially their defensive side of things, this to me has been the most impressive about the last three games. They gave up some chances last night, but I think they're pressing so much in the offensive zone. The odd time you're going to give up, a fast break type of a chance. And that was the majority of the chances that the Preds gave up last night was because of that. But I think, Edmonton to me has always been their Achilles heel would be either a combination of goaltending and defensive play. And, they've got some physical players, but they're not a physically tough team. And when you get into this part of the season, the Preds, I don't think there's any question of what kind of team they were. I think even back then they were still quite, trying to figure out line combinations and, what kind of team, where are we going to put this guy with this? Now that's a thing of the past. There might be some minor tweaks here and there within the game, and from game to game. But to me was the timing of those matchups. Back then, and that was so long ago, I expect a completely different type of a game. It was more open, a lot of special teams, kind of back and forth. And tomorrow, I expect the Predators to really try to lock it up and really take away that time and space, make them come through coverage. I feel the Predators' forecheck is good, but their reloads are better. Their interchanges when the defensemen pinch in, the forwards are always covering in right behind. So I feel it's going to be a lot tougher for Edmonton's skill to make an impact. Now, they can, because sometimes with those guys and players like that, it doesn't matter how you defend them. They find a way to make plays and get things done. But I just feel it's going to be a lot more challenging a game for Edmonton to break through.
It's a big one. It is a big one. Chris, we'll see you tomorrow, bud. And thanks for the time, as always. We'll see you at the rink, as Chris likes to say.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Chris Mason, talking Predators. Oilers coming into town tomorrow. The two franchise players, Draisaitl and McDavid, both having incredible seasons. But Edmonton fell 5-1 last night in Minnesota. And so they've been very, very solid here. They look like they're going to make it for sure into the playoffs in the Pacific. But Nashville is still in a position trying to hold off Dallas and also hold off whoever ends up fourth place in the Pacific. That's the race right now. And that could end up being a couple different teams, and the Oilers are in that mix. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming on the show. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase here on 102.5 The Game.
Good stuff. Chris Mason every week brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. Sounds baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds will take on Gwinnett. Pre-game show begins at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05, Sounds Baseball. Presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. Back here on the DDC. Tomorrow night, Predators will host the Edmonton Oilers. Then a little back-to-back situation at home, which is always nice. Home, not home Saturday, run to the airport, and go to an away game on Sunday. It's going to be a home, starting with a matinee on Saturday, 11:30 puck drop, Chicago Blackhawks, and then St. Louis on Easter, Sunday evening, a puck drop at 5 o'clock. So, big weekend of hockey, but also a big weekend on television and radio. Please explain, Willie.
You know, I think a lot of people probably along the road have heard or seen that Terry Crisp is going to be retiring from the broadcast at the end of the season. So it's been a bit of a season-long celebration. Mm-hmm. But what we're doing this weekend is going to be, I think, sort of the crown jewel of this whole thing. Pete and Terry are going to do the radio broadcast on Saturday, which is going to be really fun here on 102.5 The Game. So they will reunite, and they'll call the Blackhawks and the Predators. So that's part one on Saturday. Then part two on Easter Sunday,
well,
a 5 o'clock start. Go ahead. You want to add to that? Okay.
Well, I was going to say, well, that means other people, because people naturally, well, what about how? Well, what's that mean? So I think he's going to slide over and do things on the television side with you guys on Saturday. What, he'll be at the desk with Lindsay? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we're just, okay. we're shuffling around.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know the lay of the land. Yeah.
So, yeah, Hal will jump in on our TV broadcast and take Crispy's spot with Lindsay down on the desk and contribute there. And then on Sunday, Easter Sunday, it's a 5 o'clock start against the Blues. A big, big game, number one. Mm-hmm. And then number two, Pete and Crispy are going to call the game on Bally Sports. They're going to reunite one more time on the TV side. And, you know, it's going to evoke memories going all the way back to 98, 99, the very, very first game. So that is going to be a lot of fun. But there's going to be a ceremony. He's going to be the ceremonial puck drop. It's not going to be a roll out the carpet and something like that. So it's not going to be quite like what we saw for Rick Jeanneret. But I think, just having been at the Rick Jeanneret thing, I think it's going to be a game you're going to want to be at. If you were just kind of shuffling around, go, hey, there's a lot of games this week. I got a lot going on this weekend. It's Easter. I just want to put the plea out there to Predator fans that appreciate Crispy, and there's not a Predator fan that doesn't appreciate Crispy. But I just think this is going to be a really special thing, and you may not really know that this is happening, right? I think because it's been a season-long thing, there's been a lot of little steps along the way. Some of his former teams, like in Philadelphia and Calgary, they've honored him there to sort of, you know, see him one more time before he retires. And, you know, Crispy's not going anywhere. He's going to be around, right? He's going to be in Nashville. You'll see him. But at the microphone, Sunday is going to be a big one. Pete and Terry on TV, and then at the arena, there's going to be a ceremonial puck drop and then a little bit of ceremony on the band stage during the first period. I get goosebumps thinking about what the crowd is going to be like that day. So I just would put out there to Predator fans, if you're like, hey, I share my tickets or I go to a lot of games, I don't go to all the games, be there. Be there on Saturday. You're going to want to, in 10 or 15 years, say, you know what? I was there for that day that they honored Crispy. Because you know what kind of response he evokes, Darren? It's just, mm-hmm. We were talking with John McClain. There's just a certain gift certain people have that just turns on the light for everybody. And so you're just not going to want to miss that game. I just want to make sure you circle that date if you follow the Predators. And, you know, it's been a generation, right? Where would we be without Crispy? And for Pete, for that matter, but Pete's not going anywhere either, right? He's going to be on the mic for a long time. So I'm sure he's going to get his day too. But Pete and Terry together, calling the games, and then Terry being honored on Sunday, that's one you got to be a part of it.
Gosh, I hope there's a soccer kick in the game. Man, I hope there is one.
Oh, my gosh. All I can say is if there is, we're never going to get through it.
That'll be the best. Please let somebody do a soccer kick during the broadcast. Then one of the games, Saturday or Sunday, please do a soccer. Somebody kick the puck, please. Put a plea out there to a
You know, if you
player.
Tell the right people, somebody might do it just somewhere along the line. But it is kind of an important
sure.
game.
It is. You know, I'm very, very envious of people that have that ability. It's, you know, it's something that you can't, even if you want it, you can't just manufacture it. It's either in you or it's not. And I so wish I had that trait. I don't. And most don't. That's what makes them special. But there are people, we all, people out there listening, you've all come in contact with somebody that, you know, people just gravitate towards, right? And they just have this knack for just being able to draw you in on everything they say or do, right? It's pretty amazing. And Terry Crisp is like that. And people, and typically, they're great storytellers, right? And their stories are endless. You mentioned we had John McClain on yesterday, and we could have honestly done I don't know how many hours with him. It would have been the easiest show ever. Just wind up John and let him go. John has always had that ability. He connects with people. People connect with him. He's a great storyteller. He's got endless stories. Terry Crisp is the same way. He connects to people. People connect to him. He's got endless stories, and they just have the ability to draw people. And quite honestly, I know he hasn't been here as long, you know, hasn't been around as long, but he's been in the NFL world that long. I know he's been in the NFL world for coming up on close to four decades. If you've never been around Dave McGinnis, he's got a lot of that in him. I'm here to tell you. Dave McGinnis is, and I don't want to, this is, I do not want this to come off as an insult. He's like a poor man's Terry Crisp, John McClain. I'm not even kidding. And that is not to be insulting. That is a compliment. He is right there. If you've ever spent any time around him, you know what I'm talking about. Even when he was a coach with the Titans, I mean, he would sit there and talk with you like he's known you his whole life. I'm like, you're the linebackers coach for the Titans. Like, why are you sitting here just chatting away with me like you've got nothing else to do? I mean, and like you've known me your whole life. He is the same way. And so the point is, Terry Crisp is like, you know, the Mount Rushmore. Those heads are there in this market, right? Terry, just, it's amazing. Like I said, I wish I had just, not I wish I had it. I wish I had like just a fraction of that trait, because it's amazing to watch. And so if you don't have an opinion on Terry Crisp, it just means you haven't had any time around him at all. Because if you don't feel that way, that means you've never been around him. And I'm sorry. I hope you're able to do that. Maybe this weekend, because it's pretty cool to watch. It really is. And you're right. You need to be in the building Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
You're going to want to be. You're going to want to be able to say that you did it, that you were there, because it's going to be a Smashville standing O.
Yeah, you could say that. That's one way of putting it. It'll be loud for sure. All right, we'll come back. Continue discussion. Love to get back into what we were talking about. A lot of you were weighing in, and I'll tell you what, it's a pretty interesting topic. As we sit here a couple weeks out from the NFL draft, and you do wonder, the Titans do pull the trigger on a quarterback, that could add another layer to what we've been discussing already the entire offseason and on today's show, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live tonight during the 6 o'clock hour. Special guest, Jeremy Lauzon, David Reddick. Pretty cool. Be listening, 6 o'clock hour. Should be a lot of fun. Plus, you can watch it on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Smashville Live, every week brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. I just saw where the Red Wings signed a goalie, Magnus Hellberg, to a one-year contract. That name sounds familiar. Magnus Hellberg.
A long, long time ago, a draft pick for the Predators. Yes. And got a chance, I think, if I saw this correctly, he played in the Olympics because of the, you know, the players couldn't go, didn't go, wanted to go, all of the above. But Hellberg got an opportunity to play. Must have impressed some Red Wing scouts.
Yeah. We did have a funny text. I didn't get a chance to read it. And I remember when we were talking about, I brought up maybe, you know, wooden bats. That's the kryptonite. Maybe if they implement that for the College World Series or the regionals, super regionals, maybe that would, be a bad idea for Tennessee, obviously joking. But somebody said, I'm waiting for the Predators to have a one-off game with aluminum hockey sticks. That'd be fun.
Well, what they use is a lot more potent than aluminum. It's gone way past aluminum. But, honestly, there's some of the same technology. You know, they're always with hockey sticks, golf clubs, baseball bats. They're all looking for that same thing.
Yeah, but I'd like to see a wood night, right? A wood night. Let's do that. That'd be fun.
You know what? When we had the night where Hal Gill joined our booth, we had a three-man crew. I did bring up to those guys, should the NHL have considered way back when? Because tennis had this crossroads too. Everybody used to use wooden rackets. And then slowly but surely, the technology took over. But baseball kept to the wooden bat. Always decided, look, we're not changing. We're staying with the wood. I don't care what you come out with. You can use it somewhere else. You can't use it here. Golf, they've let the technology happen. So I just wondered what would have happened if hockey kept the tradition like baseball. You have to use a wooden stick.
Yeah.
It certainly changed the game.
Scoring wouldn't be up like it is this year, that's for sure.
Especially if the goaltenders continue to evolve the way they have.
Yep.
You know?
No, I don't think they would be getting the outcomes that they've been getting this season, for sure. Let's go to Chris on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. What's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, I want a few thoughts about Ryan Tannehill in light of what Matt Hasselbeck said in his interview earlier. You know, he said he was kind of surprised at the way the market here has reacted to Tannehill, but as a passionate Titans fan from the very beginning, you know, we know that our window is not going to be 20 years like the Patriots. It's now, and, you know, we know how hard it was for the team to overcome all the adversity with the injuries in the year and to make it to the number one seed in the AFC was just incredible. But then in your playoff game, you know, we all saw it. We've mainly lost it because of the three interceptions. There was other things that was wrong. You know, they should have gave Foreman more carries than Derek and – a couple other things, missed coverages that was able to get them in field goal range to win the game. But
the backbreakers were the picks. They were.
Yes, the backbreakers were the picks. And it's not the first time. And if you think of all the playoff games, the three in 2019 and the one in 20 and 21, Ryan Tannehill did not put the team on his back at any time. When he didn't have Derrick Henry plowing through there, he wasn't able to win the game. Now, he did it many times during the regular season. Yes, that's how we get to the playoffs. But it just seems like when the lights are the brightest, and even in against the Bengals, he just had that deer in the headlights look right at the beginning of the game. And, I'm not ready to kick Ryan to the curb. I'd like to see him get one more shot, and it looks like he will. But we just know how hard it was to get there and then just to lose it in that fashion. You know, that's what Matt Hasselbeck doesn't understand, not being a passionate Titans fan. You know, we don't know if Derrick Henry will ever be like he used to be. We hope so, but that's just how I feel as a fan about Ryan.
Thank you, Chris. By the way, it's his brother, Tim. Matt does join us from time to time, but it is Tim every week that joins us and said that. It's why I believe, and I've said this before, I just think it's time, and that's why I brought up the, is it time to draft the quarterback, or do you say, this class really doesn't excite me. I don't see a whole lot there. Is it time to, you know, bring in, again, back to the, is it time to get a legit backup quarterback? Is it reached that time? And quite honestly, and I'm reading a text right now, and we've had these texts, and we've brought this up. When Cleveland has to part ways with Baker Mayfield and just send him packing to the curb, and they just flat out release him, because I don't believe the league is going to help them at all, because the league is mad at them. And so when they just have to eat it, and they just send him packing, and they just flat out release him, and he's there for the taking, to me, the Titans should absolutely be players in that. Now, I guess that will determine now if they go out and they draft a Desmond Ridder, then they won't be in the market for Baker Mayfield. But if they don't do anything in the draft, it's time. It is time for either someone young and maybe promising, or a guy that maybe just for whatever reason it didn't work out in Cleveland but has potential, like Ryan Tannehill, you know, maybe that second stop. But I do think it's time, and nothing against Logan Woodside, but it's time to push now. I do believe that time has come.
Well, that may be, but I still don't like philosophically a team that's trying to win right now using the first round pick on a quarterback, because that just doesn't fall in line with the goal of the season.
What about trading up a late second round to get Ridder or a quarterback like him? Because they don't have a second round pick, but what if they trade up and get the quarterback? So you don't do the 26th pick, but because I don't
you're
know
saying if Ritter's
guys,
sitting there in the second round
or somebody you know, that I don't know, like, maybe somebody these guys equivalent. Fall to the third. I don't know.
I think that's a different story. I'm looking to help my team as much as I can with this year's team. Immediate guys drafting a future quarterback doesn't do that. I'm a little bit with the caller in that the urgency is with Derrick Henry in the window where he's a dominant player. I want to try to strike. I want to stay in that window. So I'm hard-pressed to use a high draft pick on a quarterback. Now, as you mentioned, if you know something that would involve a Baker Mayfield or a different veteran to upgrade there, if you've got the budget to do that, I'm not opposed to that if you can make the money work.
I think going to the conversation, I think that at this point, with everything that we've thrown out there today, this is going to be tough for one, and we're going to find out because other players in this market have faced these type of circumstances, and some have responded, and some haven't in the spot. The latest example was all the chatter about Matt Duchene, and there's no bigger response than what he's done this season. I mean, that chatter, that narrative has completely gone away for good reason. It's because of the season he's having, 38 goals this season. He has responded with a career year. He's been at it for a long time. And his response was career year. Can Ryan Tannehill do that? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he can.
The answer is yes, he could. He could do it. But that's what I don't like about the narrative, is that there are people that think the answer to that is no, that it cannot happen. You just used a great example. Matt Duchene is showing that you can have a bounce back.
Well, that is like bounce back in epic proportions for sure. I mean, that it's one thing to improve and quiet some of the noise down. It's a one thing to have the noise dissolved and
have
a career.
All you're
season.
Asking for Ryan Tannehill is a good postseason. That's 2, 3, 4 games. He's been very, very effective over 3 seasons. You're not asking for a vastly different regular season. His regular season was down last year, but there were reasons for that. Still won a lot of games, didn't miss any time. You're just looking for him to come through in a big game. To me, that's an easy thing. Peyton Manning had bad playoff games, a lot of them. Had a lot of great playoff games.
Yeah, Peyton Manning
he's
had
got to keep getting back
seasons
there.
Year after year in the regular season, and that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but if you judge Peyton Manning until they won the Super Bowl, he had some bad playoff games. Some playoff games where he got beat.
Right, but nobody was looking to replace Peyton Manning. People are looking to replace Ryan Tannehill.
Right, that's the problem is I don't understand why, because you've not had playoff success, that's what they're getting on Tannehill for. If you haven't had playoff success for a couple of years, that doesn't mean you couldn't have playoff success the next time you get to the playoffs. If you get there a lot, you got a chance.
Come back and put a bow on Wednesday's edition of Darren Donica Chase. Joe, we'll get to you on the other side as well here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stop by Social Furniture, 5412 Charlotte Avenue. That's in Nashville. Enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators and Blackhawks. Saturday, April 16th. Yes, this Saturday. Got a chance to do that. Don't forget, check out their new sofas while you're there. You must be 18 years of age to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. Joe, up in Bowling Green. What's up?
Hi, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thanks.
You guys were talking about the Titans moving up. They don't have the draft capital to go up. They just don't have anything to anybody to get up. And they could go down and maybe get a second, you know, get rid of the 26 and get a second-round pick. As far as the quarterback, I agree with Willie. I mean, you're trying to win now. You've got a quarterback that's been knocked on his butt about as much as anybody in the NFL. You might want to get somebody to protect him. So, you know, if we can – I think the three or four of the best tackles are probably going early, but I'm sure they can find a tackle that, you know, they can put it right tackle and maybe we can cement the offensive line. And as far as quarterbacks in the playoffs, I mean, how many interceptions did Mahomes throw in the second half of that game, you know? So, you know, it happens even to the best of them. But, no quarterback. Let's get us an offensive lineman and a wide receiver and see if we can win this thing.
Thank you for the call. I do believe that that'll probably be two positions they absolutely address. So I think that's going to happen. We've got to stop comparing Ryan Tannehill to Mahomes and like those guys make mistakes, but yes, but they're completely at a different level. So you get different passes. It's like Derrick Henry. While he never fumbles, if Derrick Henry fumbles, like nobody's going to be screaming about Derrick Henry because Derrick Henry is different than everybody else. Or Derrick Henry has a bad game. Derrick Henry has a couple of bad games. Now, in this situation, because he's coming off the Jones fracture, and now we're all trying to figure out, is he going to be the same back? That's fair. But Derrick Henry got passes. By the way, if we're being totally honest, I've brought this to light before on the show, he hasn't been great in the playoffs either. But you know why he doesn't get talked about? Because he's had a 2,000-yard season, and he's the best back in the league. When you reach certain levels, you get passes. Ryan Tannehill doesn't get those passes. We've got to stop comparing him to Peyton Manning and Patrick Mahomes and all these other guys. Well, they didn't do this, and they don't do that. Yeah, but they're the elite of the elite. They're surefire Hall of Famers. They're first ballot Hall of Famers. You get passes. You don't get equal footing, equal comparisons to those guys. You don't. You're treated differently.
But there's nobody that's saying that Ryan Tannehill is better than Peyton Manning. I'm just simply pointing out that Peyton Manning lost his first three playoff games. And in 4 years, there was one of the years they didn't make the playoffs. As he was building his thing, but there was a time before they won the Super Bowl when he was 30 that the rap was he wasn't at his best in the playoffs. It's just, it's relative, but that was a knock on him.
Of course it was. But again, do quarterbacks make mistakes? Yes. None of them are perfect. Do they throw picks? Yes. Did Patrick Mahomes throw picks? Yes. First half of the season, he was crap. But guess what? He gets a pass because he's won a Super Bowl and he's been to two Super Bowls straight. If Ryan Tannehill had already won a Super Bowl here and the Titans have been to two Super Bowls,
we would not
be having any of these conversations. They wouldn't exist. Nobody would care.
I don't think anybody's trying to give anybody a pass. I'm just simply pointing out that for a long time, in his 20s, Peyton Manning did not have a lot of playoff success. They lost a lot of games. They were owned by the Patriots. But eventually, he found playoff success. I'm saying just because something happens for 5 or 6 years, which is what happened to Manning, he eventually broke through.
Oh, well, the narrative was there going all the way back to college.
Yes, no doubt. But eventually, he broke through. I choose to believe that Ryan Tannehill, even though he played poorly in the playoff game last year, could get back to the playoffs this year and have a good game.
I'm just simply saying, let's stop comparing him to all the greats and their flaws and
But you're misunderstanding the argument. I'm not comparing him to the greats. I'm saying that even the greats can have trouble in the playoffs and then find a way to break through.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's had trouble in the playoffs, but nobody's calling in to complain about Derrick Henry. Look at his numbers. Has he lit the world on fire in the playoffs? No. Nobody's calling in and complaining about him.
He's had
Why
some
is
big
he
playoff
shouldering
games.
The blame?
You don't think he's had some big playoff games?
The last 2 years when they've been one and done, look at his numbers.
Why are you cherry picking the last two games? You don't remember 2 years ago when he absolutely dominated?
It'd be 3 years ago. The last 2 years, they've been one and done in the playoffs, and
yes,
he has been.
Everybody
zero
knows that, but why? But why would you even bring that up as a comparison when he has had dominating playoff games? He took over the postseason the year before that.
Because the last 2 years, he hasn't.
So
and
what?
And Ryan Tannehill hasn't been good either. But yet, all the blame is on Ryan Tannehill, and it's for a reason. That's why I'm saying, by the way, Derrick Henry's earned that. I'm taking up for him. He deserves the pass because he's different. He's different than everybody else, and people who are different than everybody else get passes. Ryan Tannehill doesn't get a pass. I'm sorry. When you're in that middle tier, you get scrutinized more. I mean, that's just what it is. You don't get treated like the elite. Just like everybody. Who was it? Bill Parcells? Everybody's got different roles. They don't get treated the same. Even Bill Parcells, as stubborn as he was.
It's not about a pass. It's about a belief. It's about a belief that the next time will be different. That is different than a pass.
Christopher is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Yeah, Coach Willie's Peyton Manning analogy is full of holes. The fact that Peyton Manning didn't have early playoff success wasn't due to Peyton Manning. It was due to the Colts being a crappy team.
The Colts were a crappy team?
The fact that we lost to the Bengals was due to Ryan Tannehill. You can't compare Ryan Tannehill to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning did not lose all those playoff games. The Colts did.
Wait a minute.
The Titans didn't lose that playoff game. Ryan Tannehill did.
Wait a minute. So when Peyton Manning in 2000 went 17 for 32 for 194 yards, the rest of the team lost the game?
How many picks did he throw?
He threw none in 2000. Then they missed the playoffs in 01. They go back in 02. He went 14 for 31 for 137 yards and two interceptions.
So go back and watch the game and tell me that those two interceptions cost him the game.
When your quarterback goes 14 for 31 with no touchdowns and two interceptions, I would venture to say that Ryan Tannehill's numbers were better than that in the Bengals game.
This is vintage Coach Willie. You know the point I'm making.
They lost 41 to nothing to the Jets.
They didn't lose the game because of Peyton Manning.
I don't understand what you're talking about. You're saying their team was no good?
Obviously the team was no good.
I'm talking about a decade, basically, of Peyton Manning. That was the rap on Peyton Manning for a long time in his 20s. They'd never won the Super Bowl. He finally won when he was 30. He's one of the greatest of all time. But he did.
Yeah.
Look at game by game. He did not have a lot of playoff success. I'm looking at the numbers.
You can't compare the numbers to the numbers. There's only one number. It's three. Three interceptions in the playoff game for the Bengals. That's why the team lost.
Yes, I completely agree. I'm talking about what could happen in the next playoff game. You're saying he will throw three interceptions in the next playoff game? You have no faith that he could play a good playoff game for you next year if they make it.
I'm not talking about what he can do next year. I'm talking about your analogy of Peyton Manning is completely, completely nonsense.
Well, we know what happened with Peyton Manning because he eventually broke through.
We know what happened with Ryan Tannehill against the Bengals.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Did I start the argument by saying Ryan Tannehill played great against the Bengals?
You didn't say that. But what you're saying is that because Peyton Manning didn't have early playoff success, therefore Ryan Tannehill is Peyton Manning.
That's not what I said at all. I said because Peyton Manning did not have early playoff success, did not keep him from having later playoff success. That is what I'm saying about Tannehill. But a lot of people have written that off like Tannehill could never go back and play a good playoff game.
Well, I hope he does. But the Colts didn't suck because of Peyton Manning. The Colts sucked because
The Colts lost a lot of playoff games with Peyton Manning as the quarterback.
But it wasn't Peyton Manning that lost the game.
14 for 31 with no touchdowns and two interceptions. That's not on him?
my head is so bruised.
Take a look at the take a look at the game. Jets, Herman Edwards, Jets versus Colts, 2002.
Refusing to engage in the argument. Okay. Well,
take a look at the tape.
Thank
it's out
Christopher
there.
Christopher for the call.
Herm Edwards. He talks about it a lot on the show.
Corners. We have to go to our neutral corners. Well, this is good. Good conversation. It won't be the last time we do this.
I just want to make sure you heard me. Did I ever say Ryan Tannehill is as good as Peyton Manning? Did I ever say that? I don't think so.
We can bring.
And I did not say that Ryan Tannehill didn't play very poorly against the Bengals. Those are true.
A conversation for another day, like tomorrow, starting at 10 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Continue to be safe, and we will indeed talk to you tomorrow morning at 10. See you then.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.